Hi, this is Mary Jo Collins. Greetings from the Walt Disney World Marathon.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And on the show today is Miss January for the Mickey Miles Podcast, none other than Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
It sounds like we have a really sketchy calendar or something going. You can just call me Marathon Michelle. I'm okay with that. How
it's
are you
old
today?
Hat.
How are
it's
you?
Old hat. I'm hanging in there.
Hey, it's not old hat for me. I played tennis today and brought my medal to show my tennis partner. And also really excited, Mike, because I signed up. One of my New Year's resolutions was to sign up for non-Disney races. So I just signed up for the Virginia Wine Country Half Marathon. So that should be pretty cool in June.
Well, I'm sure that they're very grateful that you've signed up.
Bada-bing. So I have a shout-out today, and it's to two lovely people who I met at our meet. I met them a few times. I think I've actually met them before. But they are Dave and Eileen Lawrence. And Dave and Eileen were there with their running posse at our meet in January. And they were just very lovely and encouraging. And Dave said, was telling me how excited he was for me to finish my first marathon. And I was remembering that on race day. They're from New York and just very nice, encouraging, sweet people. So big shout out from me to you, Dave and Eileen.
And I believe that Eileen had a Mickey Miles podcast shirt on.
She did. Dave said he has one too. And he wasn't wearing it that day. It was rather warm, but they got them on Cafe Press. So thank you for supporting the show.
Pretty cool. Well, it's question day, everybody, and Michelle and I are here to answer the questions that have been coming in droves, and we're going to go right to the first one. It comes from Justin Eckstein, and Justin says, or Eckstein, he's from Cincinnati, and Justin says, "Dear Mickey Miles Podcast crew, I was thinking, what if Disney was going to add a new endurance event for 2014? And they let you decide. What would the theme be? Star Wars? Muppets? What month would you hold it? What would the course be? Would it be a 5K, a 10K, a half, a full, 50 mile, 100 mile, 1,000 mile? Would it bump off another existing race? Would it even be a run? Maybe a duathlon, a triathlon, adventure race? I would do a triathlon and make it a Disney World mountain theme. Have part of the course go by Everest and then all of the mountains in the Magic Kingdom. I look forward to hearing your input. Hopefully it happens. Keep up the great work. Love the podcast." Michelle, would you like to give
sure.
first
Oh, boy, if we could just blue sky it for races, that would be really fun. Justin, I think this is a terrific question. Well, they already have a Star Wars 5K that they did out in Disneyland, and I actually ran that. That was very fun. I love the idea of a Muppets race. Wouldn't that be cool to see people dressed up like Muppets? I also was thinking two of my favorite rides are Haunted Mansion. We already have a Tower of Terror 10K, but a Haunted Mansion themed Halloween race would be great. And another one that I really love is Pirates. So a pirate race, I think, would be really, really fun too. I think that this Dumbo Double Dare, the 10K that's going to be there, has really gotten me thinking about Disney maybe having more 10Ks. I think that would be either any one of these races for a 10K would be really fun, because I think it's a nice bridge for people who are coming from the 5K moving towards the half. So those would be great. What about you, Mike? What do you think?
I've been thinking about this for a long time, Michelle, and if I had my way and if Run Disney happened to contact me, and if you're listening, Run Disney, please contact me at mike@mickeymousepodcast.com. Here you go. I think it would be great on April Fool's Day of every year to hold a Mickey Miles Midnight Marathon And by midnight marathon, it would begin at midnight. And by the time the runners would finish, most of the runners would finish, it would be dawn. The sun would be coming up. Think of the difference. It would be it would be the same course as the marathon. It would be run the same way. And the thing would be everybody would be running through the theme parks when they were closed. And Disney would not have to worry about closing the theme parks early or opening them up late. Everybody would be cleared out. But I think the best thing about it would be that everybody would be seeing the sun come up in the morning. And I think that by April, it's not that warm. It's still sort of like early spring or maybe mid spring for those in Orlando. But I think that would work very much better than a midnight race in September or October. So my feeling is that that would be something I think everybody would love.
Now, did you mean to call it the Mickey Miles race? Do you want them to name it after this podcast?
How about Mickey's Midnight Madness Marathon?
Oh, that's good. A good alliteration is always important in a running event. That's a great question. I think we could continue to talk about that. I'd love to hear what people on Facebook have to say about what they'd like to see, too.
And for those of you who really like that idea, please send a note to Run Disney and say, we heard it on the Mickey Miles podcast. Okay. Our next question comes from Tom Krog, who has a question about running on Castaway Cay. A key.
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 No, okay. Key. I'm sorry. It's key.
Okay, it's key. Hello. I understand there is a 5K on Castaway Cay on days when the ship docks. Is this true? And so, if so, how does one sign up for it? I am going in August. Any help would be great. Thanks, Michelle.
Well, I haven't done this, but I believe that I know the answer. So the race is going to be. It's not like you sign up for it through Run Disney as you would other events. It's going to be listed on your navigator. So that little piece of paper that the cruise gives you the night before to show you what the different events are. My understanding is that there's a meeting place somewhere on the ship. I think it's, you know, one of the bars area. Some of the recreation staff meets you there. And you go, you get a bib there, and then you go onto the island to start the race from there. So I think it sounds very low-key and friendly. There aren't many runners, you know, fewer than 100, depending on who signs up. But sounds really fun. Everybody gets a medal. So just check out your navigator the night before. You're going to go to Castaway Cay.
It'll be a warm run, that's for sure. Our next question comes from Chris Kaminsky. Chris says, great podcast. It has encouraged me to hit the road and start running. I always hated running, but I realized that my stationary bike training and ice hockey was not helping as much as I would like. So I made a commitment to begin to run in 2013. I have targeted the Wine and Dine 2013 half marathon as my goal. This first week, I have run 3 times of 3 miles each. My goal is to run 4 to 5 times per week and slowly increase my long run to do the Wine and Dine. I have 2 questions. Any advice? If my family of 4, teacher, wife, and 2 kids, ages 8 and 6, came down for Daddy's race and only had 4 days to visit, when and where should we stay? Of course, money is a factor. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Michelle?
So I think the first question was any advice about his training. And I think he's making good start by building a good core, building up his endurance. I think my 2 quick pieces of advice, Chris, would be to mix it up and not just do running, to do some cross training and strength training. Do some swimming, do some, you know, work on strength training, work on your core. The second piece of advice is to follow some sort of a training plan. So whether it's the Galloway plan that is listed on the Disney website or one of his books, whatever training plan that you choose to use, just stick with something. As you get closer to that race, you know, a few months out, you're going to want to make sure that you're really sticking to the training plan. But in the meantime, just build up that core, make sure you have a good base. And it sounds like if you just add a little bit of mileage every week, you'll be all set. The second one, I think I'm going to defer to you, Mike. Where do you think he should stay for his trip?
Well, the first thing I want to say, Chris, is that when you have families coming down with the runners, you may want to schedule your trip so that you have some park time after the race. Don't front load your vacation. Try to fix it so that you'll have two of those 4 days after the race, because you need to think about what you're going to be doing on the day of the race and the day before the race, and you have to worry about your, you know, about your stamina and your legs. Okay, so where would you stay? The ages of your children have me thinking that you could stay at either a value or a moderate. I think that Pop Century would be fine. You could stay at Art of Animation, or you could stay at maybe the Caribbean, or Coronado, or Port Orleans. Those would be the 6 that I would say, or even All Stars. I think a value or a moderate would be fine. Probably would be the best. As far as money wise, you'd probably get the best deal, especially if it's in November. I think, Chris, that any value or moderate resort would be fine. Again, the moderates would be a little bit more expensive than the value, but I think those would be good. And I think that All Star Pop, Caribbean Beach Resort, and Art of Animation would be the 4 that I would suggest. Okay. Our next question comes from Laura Baker. And Laura says, or Laura Baker. And Wine
that,
and Dine is
got the, that Boston accent. Laura Baker.
Laura Baker. And the Wine and Dine is November
8th
and 9th. That's yep. Right. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Hi. I just thought you might want to touch on the topic of race walking at some point. I was at Disney World last year during the Princess Half and saw all the women with medals afterward and realized they weren't all skinny runner types. I decided I wanted to do the race in 2013, even though it seemed like a crazy idea at the time. I have a heart condition that prevents me from running for any more than a few minutes at a time. But I had done a few 5Ks, mostly walking at about a 14-minute pace. I came home from Disney, talked to my doctor, and set about the training. I did many 5Ks last summer and completed a half last September. I walked the entire way. I experimented with different strategies and realized that the run-walk strategy works for me at shorter distances, but running at the half marathon distance makes me too tired. So I am better off with a consistent, brisk walking pace. I am looking forward to the Princess next month and plan to maintain a brisk 15-minute walk pace the whole way. I struggle with the idea of not being a runner, but a year ago I never thought I could complete a half marathon, and here I am ready to do it. I really enjoy your podcast and have found lots of useful information. Thanks for all you do. All right, Michelle. So Laura is planning on doing the Princess Half, and she's planning on walking the whole way. And if she's going to do it at a 15-minute pace, then that's fine.
She's fine. You know, I think that we've said it many times before that these are great races for anybody who wants to get into racing. And she's absolutely right. When you go to these races, you know, in my mind, when I started running, I thought that everybody who I saw when I used to be a kid and go cheer on people at the Boston Marathon, that every runner looked like that. But you see all shapes and sizes and ages at Disney races. And they honestly don't care if you want to run, walk, cartwheel, whatever you want to do, skip. The bottom line is you have to do it in a 16-minute pace. So we have a lot of friends, very, you know, fit friends who've done many half marathons. And, you know, again, all shapes and sizes, and people run, they walk, they run, walk, and more power to you. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I actually have a friend who walked the Goofy, so it can be done. So yeah. Good luck, Laura. Next question comes from Sam Ganau. And Sam Ganau says, I hope I pronounced his name right. I have been wearing the same model of shoes for years, ASICS GT2170. Well, Sam, those are my shoes too. Before marathon weekend.
Did you get an endorsement, Mike?
I don't know. ASEX, my number is Mickey, Mike at Mickey. Okay, here we go.
He's got about 17 pairs in storage. So.
That's true. That's true. I'm never going to run out. Before Marathon Weekend, I went to get a new pair, and they changed the model to the 2000. It was supposed to be the same. I got about 20 miles on them before the Goofy. All during training, I didn't get a single blister. I used several different brands of socks. Yet I had a couple of small blisters after the half. I changed brands of socks for the marathon and blistered so badly I shut down running at mile 19 and finished in intense pain. I have never seen a blister as bad as the one I got. Here's the question. What about a race could cause that big of a difference from my training runs? My speculation, one, the running from side to side trying to find a running lane, and two, me walking through wet grass at the start to the canal. Oh.
To meditate.
To meditate.
Quote unquote. Okay, I actually have an answer to this one because this happened to me too. And I didn't have any blisters all during my training runs and ended up in the marathon with some pretty good sized blisters. So I also had, I've been having a problem with my feet where for the longer distances my feet have been getting very sore. So the day before yesterday, I went to see my wonderful podiatrist, and he actually had some interesting insights, and I think this might be helpful to you, Sam. And by the way, we met Sam at our meet. He came to our meet, and he frequently sends questions to us, so we appreciate that, Sam. So here's the scoop. He said to me that after a long distance with your feet get tired, but also your legs get tired, your body gets tired, and your gait can change. Your feet can start to swell, and also just because of your legs getting tired, you can actually start to do things like pronate where you wouldn't normally pronate. So you're running in a slightly different way than you would normally, and that can cause blisters. The conditions of that race is, of course, we know it was in the 80s. It was pretty warm. I think everybody probably had swelling feet and moisture in their shoes, regardless of the types of socks and shoes that you wore. So that's why I ended up with about four or five blisters. I suspect that's why you did too. I think this is just really different conditions than most of us were training. I'm not sure where Sam lives, but that would be my guess. What do you think, Mike?
Two things. I believe that blisters are caused by rubbing and moisture. And I think Sam had a good point when he talked about moisture with the wet grass. The other thing is that, and it depends upon who you talk to, he purchased a brand new pair of running shoes and he put 20 miles on them before the Goofy. So Sam, you put 20 miles on it and then you went out and you ran 40. I think that might have had something to do with it. I don't know what the...
Yeah, but Mike, a lot of people say that doesn't make a difference to them.
Well, I know, but I mean, I think that the toe box on a shoe needs to stretch out a little bit, and I think that for everybody it's different. I don't know what the proper breaking in mileage would be for a shoe before you before you attempt a marathon. I mean, if you put 20 miles on a shoe over a period of 4 or 5 runs, that's one thing. That's different than putting in 20 miles one day and 13 miles another day. So I don't know. I'm thinking that had something to do with it, and the socks. You know, you always want to get the wicking socks. You always want to get that moisture away from your shoe. And there are people who I know who they'll run a marathon and halfway through they'll change their socks because they're afraid of blisters. So I think that, you know, Sam, try to think about, you know, what was different this time around and maybe that will help you. And good luck in the future. And now you got me wondering about my ASICs. I'm going to have to go out and check now.
Yeah. Well, you have lots of extra pairs. So.
Yeah, I'm okay through 2020.
We have another email from Chris Kaminsky.
Yes, we
Second
do.
Second one in one show. That's some sort of a record.
This has got your name written all over it, Michelle. It says, heard in your podcast about your problem of running with your phone. It must be you because it's not me.
Yes, it was to me. Yep.
It is true that text messages and phone calls disrupt your enjoyment of the music. I have found that if I put my phone in airplane mode, I do not get interrupted. Just remember to put it back into normal mode when done.
Ooh,
so there you go, Michelle. You've learned
so
something.
Smart. I know. It's a great tip. So when I run with my phone, I'm going to put it in airplane mode. Good thinking. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Thank you, Chris.
Next question comes from Phil Taylor, who says, hey, guys, I have two questions. Number one, I'm running the 2014 Walt Disney World Marathon. Do you know when registration will open? My 10-year-old wants to start running with me, and I'm thinking I can probably train her up for the 5K by January 2014. How old do you have to be to run in Disney races? Thanks, and I love the show. Well,
I can answer that one.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Sorry. Well, you want to talk about registration first.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember when it opens. I believe it opens late February, early March every year. I think they wait until the princess is over, but I'm not definite on that.
Okay. We should probably check into when it opened last year. I don't remember, but maybe while you're talking about the next question, I can look into it. The next question about the 5K, they're kids in strollers who do the 5K, so you can do the 5K. As long as you can run 5K, you can do the 5K. For the half marathons, you have to be 14. So she's all set for a few years to practice her running with the 5K, but she'll be fine. That'll be great. What a great way to introduce her to running.
Our next question comes from Terry Mann of Nashville, Tennessee. And Terry says, for the Princess Half, will there be photographs along the run? If so, where? Terry, it's been a couple of years since I've run the Princess Half, but I would say that wherever we have seen the photographers in the past for any of the races on Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, we would see them. Although I don't recall seeing PhotoPass photographers. Michelle, do you remember during Marathon weekend if there were PhotoPass photographers?
No, I think it's Brightroom photography. Now that when I saw this, I wasn't thinking PhotoPass. I was just thinking photographers. I think it's Brightroom, but something that I noticed differently, Mike, in the last two races, I believe the Wine and Dine and the January Marathon, is there are actually photographers who come before the race. They were taking pictures of people before they even started doing their races. So, I'm not sure. I think I have a feeling that it's just Brightroom photography, that they might have that contract. I don't know if it's PhotoPass, because when you come out of the castle, that picture that everybody wants coming out of the castle, about a week later, or now a few days later, it seems like, you get an email from Brightroom Photography, and you'll get those emails for about 6 months to a year after your race, asking you if you want to buy that. But PhotoPass, I don't think so.
Oh, I don't think so either. I think you're right, Michelle.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Terry, I know Terry's run several races down there. I wonder if he's thinking those photographers were PhotoPass photographers. Our next question comes from Anita Polk Thebo. And Anita says, I'm sure this has already been asked, so I apologize for that. Can you use Disney gift cards at the Run Expo for the Princess Half? My two daughters and husband will be running the Princess Half, and we would prefer to have the gift cards before we get there.
That's a great question. So the expo is a really fun time. It's actually made up of you can probably use it in the shop, the Run Disney shop that's in the expo. But you have to remember that, Anita, that there are lots of other vendors there. So there's Track Shack and, the stick, the rolling stick, and, Asics and Brooks and things like that. They will not, I'm sure, accept the Disney gift cards, but I would suspect that you could use it within that Disney shop that's there. What do you think, Mike?
I agree, Michelle. I think that those are vendors who pay a price to have a booth and everything, and I think that the way you line up to purchase your Run Disney merchandise is the only place that I would think that you could use those gift cards. So I agree. Our next question comes from Amanda Lawson-Dale, who says, Hi, guys. I have recently started listening to your podcast on my long commutes for work, and it makes for a great break in the monotony, and I come home wanting to run. I am going to Florida for the Princess Half Marathon weekend next month. I have run 2 5Ks and 1 half marathon. I am registered for both the 5K and the half for the weekend. I plan to take the 5K slow and use it for character meets and pictures. What park would you suggest I go to after the 5K? And do you suggest I use two different pairs of shoes, one for the 5K and another for the half. Michelle, you go first.
Oh, these are great questions. I'm sure other people have these questions too. So, you know, after the 5K, you have to get up really early in the morning. I would suggest that you go to a smaller park. I would avoid Epcot. I haven't looked at the crowd calendar for those days, but I would suggest the Magic Kingdom or Studios because there's a little bit less walking. You could just hang out in Fantasyland if you wanted to for a few hours. But I would really recommend that you get off your feet sometime early in the afternoon and really not do a lot of walking. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah, my and I've done this and it works for me. My plan would always be the Studios, and I would just relax. I'd go to the Streets of America and just sit down, and I'd go to the shows. I would do very little walking, and I would shut it down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think one thing that people forget about Disney, because we don't get to go very often usually, is there's a lot to be said for just sitting and people watching and enjoying the atmosphere, because Disney puts a lot of time into creating a wonderful atmosphere. So this is the time to really sit and get off your feet. In terms of bringing two pairs of shoes, lately I have been bringing two pairs of shoes. I don't really think you 100% need to, but if something happens and that first pair gets wet or, you know, just something happens, you want to have a pair of shoes that you like. So if you do rotate through two pairs of shoes, I would bring two. I think in general you could probably just, you know, take off your shoes midday and put them aside and be fine. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. I always like to have backup. I mean, I take about 20 or 30 pairs of running shorts down because I never know which pair is going to fit just right on race day.
What, 20 or 30 pairs of shorts?
Yeah, why not? She knows them. So, and only maybe about 12 or 13 pairs of socks. You never know, Michelle. The things just got to fit right. And I also bring an extra pair of running shoes. So, yeah, I agree. Okay, our next question comes from Mickey Rossio from Parchment,
Michigan.
Michigan, I believe.
I
yes.
Like that name. That's a great name for Mickey, somebody who loves to run these races.
I think you should open up a restaurant, Mickey. Anyways, Mickey says, Mike and Michelle, this is not so much a question as more informational and wanted to share as there are a lot of questions out there on this subject. I finished my first marathon, the 20th anniversary Disney World Marathon. Congratulations.
Woo-hoo!
And wanted to share one thing that always has us slower runners a bit nervous, the sweepers. Upon exiting the ESPN Wild World of Sports and passing the 20-mile mark, I saw a woman in a safety vest waving an orange flag and yelling, "You are 10 seconds behind the 16-minute mile pacers." I am in a spot where the runners are entering and exiting ESPN and run side by side. I look back to see two women in green running outfits with green Mylar balloons, fast walking and turning into the ESPN complex. For this race, they were the sweepers.
Bum, bum, bum.
Needless to say, I was 4 miles ahead of them, but was still nervous about them.
So,
yes.
So wait a second. So she was going into the ESPN and where there was about, you know, 3.5 miles of running inside there. And when she was coming out, she saw the actual sweepers. So,
right. So she was about, she was at least 48 minutes ahead of them or whatever. So
48 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So she, yeah. Okay.
So she says, P.S. I am now back in the 15-degree snowy weather. I truly miss the 80s and sunny weather of Florida that we had for running. Takes 15 minutes less time to get ready for a run. Think the Christmas story and Randy in his snow gear. So thank you for that, Mickey. That was a very interesting story. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are looking back at the sweepers this past weekend because of the heat. And I think that might have been a little bit easier on everybody because of the heat. Our next question comes from Brooklyn, New York, and it's Sue who says, "Hi, Mickey Miles gang. I'm a relatively new runner and just completed my first half marathon at Walt Disney World earlier this month. I'm interested in the Expedition Everest Challenge in May, but $110 seems awfully steep for a 5K, even if there is a scavenger hunt in party. I've noticed that there's a place to enter a coupon code during registration, but haven't been able to find one. Are there any hints you can give on where to find discounts for Run Disney registrations? Thanks."
This is a great question. I know that I believe that from time to time there are discounts on races for annual pass holders and maybe DVC members, but I'm not 100% sure. So I'm going to look to the people on our Facebook page to jump in and help us with this question. In terms of the $110, I agree with you. You know, you could do I did a 5K around here where I live for about $30 or $40. But I think playing the devil's advocate here, you're paying for a lot more than just running through the parks. You're paying for the t-shirt, which I know you get at pretty much every 5K. Pretty cool medal, but also the organization the Disney race provides, the safety that a Disney race provides. So I'm not justifying. I know it's expensive, but I personally haven't seen any coupon codes. I know the spot that she's talking about where you can put that in, but I think that's an active.com code, not necessarily a Disney coupon code.
Yeah, that was what I was going to add, Michelle. I believe that's not Disney. That's an active.com code, and that could be from a number of things. If you're a member of active.com and you've done something and they've awarded you a coupon, so I think that's where it comes from. The other thing I wanted to mention is that 110 does seem a little steep. My first Disney 5K race was $25 for registration. Just leave it at that. We're going to go next to...
Rabble rouser.
Kurt Bauer has the next question. And Kurt says, congratulations, Michelle and Mike, on your accomplishments during the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. I have thoroughly enjoyed the podcast, especially with the Disney twist. You have provided some great information, tips, and entertainment. I still get a chuckle every time I hear Mike talk. It makes me think of him discussing the Jingle Jangle 5K race. I'll never live that down. I'm 45 years old, and I have been running on and off for the past 3 years. I have only run in two races, the past two Princess Weekend 5K races. I entered the 10-mile Tower of Terror race and followed Jeff Galloway's training plan. During my training, I really got addicted to running and was psyched about my upcoming race. About a month before the race, my knees hurt so badly during my long run that I had to stop halfway through, about 5 miles, and called my wife to come pick me up. At the advice of a coworker who was an experienced runner and was training for a 1/2 Ironman, I stopped running and rode a stationary bike up until the race. I slowed my pace down for the race, and around 7 miles, my knees started hurting me, but I never gave up and I never surrendered. I finished the race doing more walking than running, but I still enjoyed my first Disney race greater than 5K. I went to an orthopedic specialist after I got home, and he gave me some good news. He said that my knee problems were attributed to overtraining. I believe you discussed how you can overtrain for races during episode 30. Well, in episode 30, I discussed it, right. The specialist never gave me advice on how to recover from overtraining injuries. Could you discuss what steps you took to recover or recommend the best way to recover from an injury? Now for the orthopedic specialist, bad news. Looking at the MRI taken on one of my knees and doing some physical tests, he discovered that I have a grade 2 posterior cruciate ligament tear. I can remember this happening 20 years ago when I ran into a catcher who was blocking the plate in a softball game but didn't visit a doctor. I did end up with a home run, but it was costly. The doctor advised me not to have surgery and to give up running because I could develop arthritis in my knee as I got older and eventually have trouble walking. I sat there in shock when I heard him say, no more running. I am planning on seeing another orthopedic specialist for a second opinion. Have you heard of anybody being a successful runner with this type of injury? Besides Google, do you have any other sources you could recommend on how to overcome this type of injury? Maybe you have some listeners who could provide some input. Thank you for this podcast. It definitely keeps me motivated. Michelle, I guess this is my question.
Well, I'll chime in and then I'll let you. I mean, you're dealing with some of these things. First of all, I want to say that, of course, we're not medical doctors. And I think, Kurt, you're very smart in listening to your body and going to see a doctor and also looking for a second opinion. I think that it can be very, very frustrating and discouraging trying to come back from these injuries. And I think that just talking about it with lots of different people is really important. But I am going to hand you over to somebody who's been dealing with lots of injuries lately, probably has a different perspective than I have.
All right, Kurt. First off, I exploded. That was the term given. I exploded my anterior cruciate ligament back in 1981. I never got it fixed. I did a lot of therapy And I continued to play basketball. I continued to play softball. I continued to coach baseball and did all kinds of things for the next 30 years. I did wear a brace, and I've been running since then. And I think the biggest accomplishment was that last January, I did the 5K, I did the half marathon, and I did the marathon relay. So I was able to run. Now, here's the thing. When you are dealing with an injury, you need to listen to your body. You need to listen to your what kind of signals your body's sending. And again, I'm not a medical professional. I'm just telling you what I've been told by some of the orthopedic surgeons that I've talked with and people who I've talked with who have these type of injuries. What you need to do is you need to figure out where that, and this was a term that was used by my ortho the other day when I went to see him, your sweet spot. And that is, you know, you want to continue running as long as it doesn't hurt you. My ortho says the benefits of running outweigh the non-benefits of running. So he said, as long as you don't hurt yourself, you can figure out how fast you can run and how far you can run, you'll be okay. So what I guess I'm saying is that take it easy. You know, try to figure out where you can run, how fast you can run, how far you can run, and stick with that. Because again, the benefits of running outweigh everything else. So good luck with that.
But I'm glad he's going to see a doctor and getting a second opinion. Keep us updated, Kirk, because we're pulling for you. Do we have time for one more question, Mike?
I have one more question, and I'm looking to see. Okay, I've got it right here. It's from Mendy Dale.
Mendy Dale.
I'm going to Mendy Dale's for lunch. I don't know if someone has already asked this, but I was wondering if you feel like someone should use a fuel belt to carry water during the Prince's half. The map shows lots of water stops. I will be carrying sports beans and a little pouch belt, but I don't have one that holds water bottles. So she says, do you have any thoughts? So far I've timed my refuels pretty closely to where the water stops will be. Thanks in advance.
Ooh, good for you, Mendy. I think that you could, for a Disney race, you could definitely do it without water. I'm somebody personally who likes to drink a lot of water during races. I get thirsty a lot. I like kind of controlling it myself and not waiting until I get to the water stop. So for longer races, and I did this for the full, even though we needed a lot of water because it was so hot and so long, I carry a water belt with two bottles. I know some people who have one, a little hand water thing, you know, a bottle that they can strap around their hand. But I think it sounds like you've been training okay without water, and you might be all right. If you want a water belt, you can get one at the expo, but I think it's kind of tricky if you've been training a certain way to introduce something new like a water belt, because I know it took me a while to find one that fits the way that I like it to fit. I use an iFitness belt that kind of hugs my hips, and I really like it. But I would kind of suggest that you do what you're doing, and you should be fine with the water stops. What do you think, Mike?
I think that, Mendy, what I want you to promise me is that beginning that Wednesday before the princess, that you drink as much as you can. I want you to be well hydrated. I want you to keep that in mind. I think Michelle's advice is right on. I think that it's important that everybody realize that you don't change anything. You don't do anything new on race day. And unless you want to go out today and, you know, start with a water belt, you know, I would say don't do that. And drink a lot a couple days before the race, and remember where those spots are, and really fuel up when you hit those spots. One other thing I wanted to mention is that I think, Michelle, you did this, I believe, during the marathon. You carried two bottles, but were they water or were they electrolyte drink?
Yeah, that is a good thing. For the long distances, I usually just drink electrolytes. What I did is I emptied those bottles, and the volunteers are more than willing to pour the electrolyte drink or the water, whatever you want, right into the bottle. So you just walk on over and you say, can you fill up my bottle? And they do. So so if you wanted to do it that way, you could.
Yeah. And I guess, Michelle, maybe we can get one more.
Okay.
Maybe. All right. This comes from neighbor. Comes from Brian from Londonderry, New Hampshire. And Brian says, I'm training for the 2014 Disney World Half Marathon. Is there a hotel that is considered the best to stay at for race weekend that is close to the race, short bus ride to start or from the finish? Special amenities. I love the podcast, and I'm sometimes disappointed when I have listened to all of the episodes and I'm forced to listen to music.
How do you think we feel, Brian?
Brian, you know, it depends. There are Disney hotels on the property. I'm beginning, I believe he means Disney Resort hotels. I think that some people like to use the monorail. And so they'll stay on a monorail resort and just take the monorail and walk from the monorail to the gathering area. You could do that. A lot of people tend to stay, especially for the values are all close, especially Pop Century. That I believe they're the closest to the to Epcot. And the others that I would suggest would be, and I've said this earlier in the episode, the Caribbean Beach Resort and the Coronado Springs. Those three are very, very close. Out of Animation is also close. So those four, Out of Animation, Pop Century for value, Caribbean Beach Resort, and Coronado Springs, they, I believe, are the closest to Epcot. The others are a little bit further away. They all have buses. I don't know if it really matters if you're close with the bus, because I have heard many, many stories that tell me that, you know, the buses for those closer sometimes take longer than the ones further away. So
yeah, I'm assuming he's talking about January race weekend. He doesn't really say. He says the half, right, 2014. Right. But my DVC is Beach Club. That's usually where I stay. I like that, but I usually take a car. But I have taken the bus, and for that weekend, every resort has buses. They don't always for every single race half marathon that Disney has, but for that big race weekend, you can get a bus anywhere. So any of the resorts that Mike mentioned should be fine.
Yeah, I've used three or four different. Actually, I shouldn't even say I used three or four different hotels, because it didn't matter. I always drove to the race, so it didn't matter. So I think we've done a pretty good job getting up to all these questions, Michelle.
This was a marathon episode about questions.
But we want them.
Yeah.
We still want more, because
yes, please,
because we know that there are questions that you may ask that others may want to ask, and we want to get to all of them as quickly as we can. So please continue to send them, and also you can post them on Facebook. And if you have any comments on any of the questions that we dealt with today, please put them on our Facebook page. And we appreciate all the visits, and we appreciate all the questions. So with that, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa, and we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.